committee will come to order, and first order of business is the delete all the omnibus data practices act. This is, that's a crime. is this it? 1360? Is that it? Okay. Do we have 1360? Oh, okay. Representative Simon moves House File 1360 and then moves the DE1 Delete Everything Amendment. Correct.
Specifically, I moved that it be passed to the General Register.
Passed to the General Register.
And then I moved the DE1 Amendment.
With the DE1 Amendment. We'll have to vote that on first. Okay, all in favor of the DE1 Amendment, put it in shape of the author, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Carries. Go ahead, Representative Simon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members. This is the Omnibus Data Practices Bill that we do every year. Representative Holberg has been a great tutor. She's been doing this for the last few years. So if you like the bill, it was a joint effort. If you don't like the bill, it was all mine. So basically, the DE1 amendment is composed of several bills that were heard for this committee that pertain to Chapter 13, which is the Data Practices Act, with some minor exceptions of bills that do not directly pertain to Chapter 13, but by custom and usage have been in this omnibus bill in the past, and so we'll discuss those. And Mr. Chair, if it pleases you and the committee, I think maybe what we could do is have a brief overview of this DE1 amendment, and then maybe afterwards go to amendments and questions. So maybe a broad overview first.
Yeah. If that, I think that we do a brief overview,
okay.
And then I believe Representative Holberg has some amendments, and I believe the author has another amendment. So go ahead. And I can't remember.
I know
it's hard.
Mr. Chair and members, I'm sorry.
What? Representative Holberg.
Apologies for being late. I see there's a number of amendments here to the DE1 amendment. Did we adopt those? So we adopted the DE amendment before amending it then.
We adopted the DE1 amendment.
Right, but we didn't take up the amendments to the amendment first.
No. We were going to discuss it first, an overview, and then I said we would take up, I know you have some amendments, Representative Simon has an amendment, and there may be some others, I don't know. Okay, Representative DeLaForest has at least one. So I think the way to do this is do the overview, and then we'll take up the amendments. So,
Mr. Chair and members, I'm Lori Fire-Kropensky from the Department of Administration. And I'm going to go through a quick summary. I'm going to highlight for you language that you haven't discussed previously in more detail than the language that you already have. And I'll just let you know where the language comes from since you've already discussed it. Section 1 of the bill is language you haven't heard before that just updates the definition for an incapacitated person to the one that's currently used. So it's just updating a term that's used. Sections 2, 5, 6, 11 to 23, 25 to 39, 45 and 47 is language you've already heard in the bill as introduced, which just changes the longer phrase to the shorthand version government entity just to improve readability of the bill. Section 3 is new language that provides the traveling data provision under 1303 to the judicial branch. And the judicial branch is supportive of this language. It just allows, since the courts have their own rules of public access, that it requires then that if they have a certain protection for their data and it comes into the executive branch, that it would retain that same judicial branch protection. So the judicial branch is supportive of that. Section 4, you have previously heard, that just allows more people to be able to respond to a data practices request and increases consistency between how requests are handled. Section 7 and 8 are both new language that relate to advisory opinions and make it clear that both for an attorney general's opinion that it must be written and published for it to trump one that is issued by the commissioner of administration. And Section 8 just says also that the opinions that of the Commissioner of Administration that people should rely on are also those written and published opinions. Section 9 is the cross-reference on Met Council language that you previously heard. Section 10 is new language that just allows for the current regulations for FERPA, the Educational Rights Protection Act. So it just allows the most current version of FERPA to be used and just removes the specific date that was included there. Section 24 is that some more substitution as far as the government entity, and it makes clear that the legislative history on this section, it makes it clear that the definition around public officials for what kind of data is public about those people when they are alleged to have done something, the language leads you to believe that it might apply to local governments, whereas the legislative history is clear that it was only meant to apply to state governments. So all it does is make that language clear. We've had a federal judge who read the language, read the plain meaning, and thought it applied to local governments. So we want to make sure those federal judges know what you meant by the language. Section 40 is that Department of Transportation information that you've already heard, and the classification for market research data, as well as Section 41 is also that MnDOT language, and Section 42. 43 is cross-reference related to the Department of Labor and Industry language that you previously heard, and then Section 44 is on the language you've already heard as far as pulling apart to avoid confusion, the Bureau of Mediation data classification from the Department of Labor and Industry, so that each agency has their own section. And Section 46 is language that you've heard related to an innocent person and the criminal history file as far as if they are erroneously tied to a criminal history that is not theirs. That originates from House File 1506. Section 48 is the Chair's Bill about parole and county probation officers and access to permit to carry language. Section 49 is language about access to data in the CRIMNET system, which we've already heard. Section 50 is language from the Department of Natural Resources that just makes it clear that before the department makes an offer to buy your land, that they need to share the appraisal that they have with the owner of the land. And you've already heard that as well. Section 51 is new language, and it's just a technical clarification related to high school coaches, where right now it calls the data non-public, and it should be private. So purely a technical change. Sections 52, 53, 54, 55, 56, 57, and 58 all relate to the Department of Labor and Industry bill that you heard earlier this week. 59 is the classification of certain labor relations data that you heard about from the Met Council, I think, last week. And then Section 60 is the repealer. So we repeal that part of the Bureau of Mediation Services language that is already pulled out into its own section. There's also a repealer for Department of Labor and Industry for some of the language that's in their bill. And then lastly, Section 61 just provides an early effective date for the Met Council provisions.
Thank you, Ms. Beyer-Kopensky. I'm getting better.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Cornish.
I don't have an amendment, but Section 20, just to clarify, page 20 of the DE1 on line, starts on line 20.13. I realize why we did Subdivision 5. We come to an agreement on that, but what's going on with the stricken on 20.15 and 20.16? Whose is that?
Mr. Chair and members, that was part of the bill that's introduced, and what that does is improve readability. So in every place where that longer phrase, state agency, political subdivision, and statewide system is used, we just substitute it for the shorthand of government entity, which is a defined term in the Data Practices Act, which means the same thing as that laundry list.
Okay.
Representative. Mr. Chair, that same thing as the laundry list, but actually it's broader, isn't it? Wouldn't a government entity or couldn't it contemplate something other than an agency or a political subdivision? Or is it really that narrow that it's defined within Chapter 13 to just be those two things?
Ms. Beyer-Kopensky?
Mr. Chair, Representative Ever, in the Data Practices Act, it is defined to be those three things.
Three things.
three things.
But then, of course, yeah, the state agencies, political subdivision, and statewide system. There's, of course, another definition for what a political subdivision means in Chapter 13 as well. So it incorporates all those definitions.
Okay, thanks.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Cornish.
Just a follow-up on that. A statewide, an agency would still be included under government entity then. It's just another term that would take it all in under an umbrella? Okay.
Okay, I think Representative Hallberg mentioned you have amendments. Do you want to...
Mr. Chair, I have a number of questions.
Oh, I'm sorry. Representative Hallberg, Representative Simon had...
Well, I just a sort of a traffic cop question, Mr. Chair. Do you want to take up questions on the whole bill? Do you want to take up Hoppe's amendments? Do you want to take up other amendments?
I didn't see any other questions on the bill. I was looking around, and so then I thought we're ready for amendments, so that's why I knew Representative Hallberg had a few, and I know you do, so I thought we would go to Representative Hallberg.
Mr. Chair, I have a couple questions. My first is on Section 10, which is on page 6, related to the student data. Does the state law always trump the federal law? My concern here is that as the feds make changes, if we don't ratify them, then they may undo or override state standards by making this change.
Ms. Beyer-Kopensky?
Mr. Chair and Representative Hallberg, is my understanding that PURPA will always, for the most part, trump state law? And I'm looking to Ms. Engler in case I misspeak in some way. And this just makes it clearer that as the feds have new requirements and the rules change, that those rules, of course, also apply in Minnesota state law.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Holber.
I just want to think through that because I would hate for the feds to change something that would undo one of our state standards and it just happened. Maybe we just move the date up to, 2006 as a date and protect ourselves from any unintended consequences with the federal standards.
Ms. Beyer-Kopensky?
Mr. Chair, members, we have been intending to find a new date in case that was something one of the members was interested in doing instead of this.
I'd be more comfortable with that.
I'm sorry.
Well, Mr. Chair, I guess what you would do is that you would reinstate the stricken language and put July 1, 2006.
Can you, state what line that is?
Oh, I'm sorry. Page 6. Line 6, I'm sorry, line 15. The only thing that you would strike would be July 1, 1993, and say January 1, 2007.
Representative Hallberg moves to strike on line 6.15, July 1, 1993, and insert January 1, 2007. Is that correct?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Is there any discussion of that? Everybody in agreement? Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, no. Carries. Representative Hallberg.
Thank you. And then, section. I don't know if we want to have a discussion as a committee. I talked with Representative Simon a little bit about Representative Dabney's Department of Labor bill, and I know there are a lot of concerns about that. I don't know how many of them can be worked out. It would be my recommendation that we remove that bill from the base bill at this time, and if things can be worked out, we do an amendment on the floor to put it back in. But it's always easier to put something in than it is to take it out. And given the number of problems with the Department of Labor bill, I would move that we remove sections 43, 52, 53, 54, 55, 56, 57, 58, and then that portion of section 60 that is the repealer of the Department of Labor, and maybe Ms. Byers and Kopinski can.
Mr. Chair and members,
might be a little ahead of me on that one.
Ms. Byers Kopinski.
Mr. Chair and members, that section is section 175.24. Which is in section 60 of the bill.
So that would be, what, page 26, line 28, after subdivision to delete the rest of the line, I believe.
Is the Representative Simon, is this agreeable?
Well, I would say this. I agree with Representative Holberg that there are problems with the Department of Labor and its industry bill, which was originally House File 1171. And
Representative Simon, could you be a little closer to
that? Sure, I'm sorry. I agree that there are several problems with it. I think Representative Holberg and I talked about it, and I agree with her. We may not agree on everything about it that's problematic. I just was speaking to Representative Dabney, which is why I missed some of the conversation. He's the author of that, and even he agrees. He agreed to carry it on behalf of the agency that there are some problems. I don't know, though, and I leave to the committee whether we want to just yank it all out and then later, presumably on the floor, put in the right parts, or whether we have the time or inclination today to pick apart just the parts we don't like today. I sort of leave it to the committee, but I agree with the premise that it needs work. And whether we do that here today or behind the scenes and put it in on the floor, it makes no difference.
Well, Representative Simon, just as the chair, I would hope that we wouldn't spend too long on this bill today, because we've got an awful lot to get out, partly because of paperwork not getting to our committee from other committees and different things like that. So,
well, then I would, in that case, Mr. Chair, that's the cue to me, and I would support the amendment.
If it's Representative Simon, if it's something that could be done without too much problem, then fine. Here, I just don't want to get bogged down and not get to our other work,
Mr. Chair. Given the number of problems that I think certain people think are in various provisions of the bill, I think bogged down is exactly what we would get.
Okay, so thank you. And so I think, just to explain to the new members, this will go to conference committee, and it'll probably be could be a month or whatever before it gets finalized. So there's plenty of time to work it out.
Mr. Chair, it's likely going to be a month before it's even taken up on the floor. You set this thing on the general register, but it's pretty obvious that there needs to be some major work. Mm-hmm. And given the volume of issues, I just think it's better to take it out. You can have one nice little amendment to put what works back in on the floor without having to. The reality is that not a lot of people want to spend a lot of time on this issue, but for the people that do, it's important, and we need to do it right.
Well, Representative Holbert, I completely agree with you, and I also agree with you that there's some very important issues in here. In that section.
Pardon me.
And Representative Simon, go ahead.
Sorry, Mr. Chair. I would support support Representative Holbert.
Could Representative Holbert restate, or maybe Mr. Gehring can restate the amendment, and Representative Holberg, you check and see if he's got it the way you want it.
So, Mr. Chair, I believe what we're doing here is taking out what exists in this bill from House File 1171, which would be sections 43, 52, 53, 54, 55, 56, 57, 58. Then also in section 60, which is page 26, line 28, after subdivision 2, we delete the semicolon and
175.24. Mr. Chair, you've got it perfect as far as I can tell.
If it's okay with everybody, I'll not restate the motion, because I might get it screwed up. I think Mr. Gehring stated it, and
I should also clarify that we're changing the tense of the verb in section 60 then from an to an is.
Representative Holberg, is that okay with everybody? Representative Westrom?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to clarify, this would cover everything in Dabney's bill, Representative Holberg or Representative Simons, and I'll ask my second question because you can answer them both together. I had an amendment that I shared with Representative Dabney. We have not connected regarding the removal versus the fixing of the misdemeanor language that I assume would be taken out here for now as well.
Representative Simon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, Representative Westrom, we would take all of that out and then decide what to put back on the floor, what we propose to put back on the floor, which may or may not include your suggestion. I don't know what it is, but we
So,
okay. So it sounds like is there any other discussion before we vote on the Holberg Amendment? Okay, all in favor of the Holberg Amendment say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. Carries. Representative Holberg, do you have other amendments then?
Chair, I'm not aware of any other amendments than mine unless somebody talked to me in the last few days and I forgot.
That's usually possible the way they've been going.
It is a distinct possibility.
Representative Simon, you have one?
I have one.
Or is that done with
no.
the... You still have one?
I have three.
Oh, you have two. Okay, and then Representative
three, yeah.
DeLaForest has one, too.
The A4, A5, and A6 amendments are mine.
Oh, okay. Which order? Which one do you want first?
Let's start with A4.
Okay. Representative Simon moves A4.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Explain.
The A4 amendment is a bill that was actually just heard this morning, not in this committee, but in the Government Operations Reform Technology and Elections Committee. And members might remember at the beginning of the session there was the Office of Legislative Auditor report about grants and about how there was too little oversight over the state grant-making process. Representative Kahn's bill, which is the Department Administration bill, she's carrying the department's bill, would tighten that up, and as part of that, there was a pretty big chunk here, and this was just cut and paste from that. It seems to make eminent sense. It just says that for three different things, for requests for grant applications, that's the heading on line 1.19, for responses to requests for proposals, line 1.25, and for evaluation data, that's line 2.13, all three of those things with respect to grants are non-public until that step is over, and then they're public. In other words, during the grant-making process, if someone's putting in an RFP or a request for an application for a grant, at that point, it's still non-public. But then once it's over, once that stage is over or that step, then we all get to see it in the public. That's it. And that's the same way that we treat other things, I'm told, according to Commissioner Badgerow and according to Representative Kahn this morning. We do that with other areas of state government. This was just extended to grants. That's it. It should be non-controversial.
Representative Holberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a couple questions. Number one, was there any controversy on this issue when it was heard in committee?
Representative Simon.
Mr. Chair, Representative Simon, were there any controversy or opposition to this
no.
in committee this morning? And then can you tell me, Mr. Chair and Representative Simon, if the state gives money to do-gooders of Minnesota, and do-gooders of Minnesota then has an RFP process where they further disseminate the money to subcontractors or sub-grantees, if you will, would these provisions apply to the sub-grantees as well?
Representative Simon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Holberg, I think so, yes. That was my understanding, because the whole idea here and the reason why we were told the bill was brought forward was because of the OLA study saying that there was insufficient oversight, and this was supposed to open up the process so we could all see what's going on.
And Mr. Chair,
Representative Simon,
do you know where in the bill that is specified or how we know that?
Representative Simon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Holberg, no, I don't. After this morning's hearing, I just flagged this and asked a question about it and thought, since we were having this hearing today, that it would probably be good to cut and paste this into amendment form. I just don't know, and maybe
we can work.
Maybe
there, we
can
certainly work on the issue as this moves forward.
Okay. Is there any other discussion of it? Mr. Neumeister? Well, we're not taking testimony on the omnibus bills, although this one wasn't heard by us, was it, Representative Simon? Okay, I'll take maybe a minute or so. We're not...
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Rich Neumeister. Over on the other body, there was some discussion about the following. This is on page 1, line 12. When you look at the word government entity, it means local political subdivision, also means state agencies, and also means statewide systems. This is a statewide issue in terms of the grants. In St. Paul, where I live, because of the legislature gave us a 0.5% sales tax, when they grant the $6 million, it's a very public process. People participate. People can see the RFPs, help with the RFPs, and all that. If you make that non-public, that whole area becomes an issue on a local level. And since I think this is a state issue, state grants. I encourage you just to put state agencies in there. So what I would suggest is granting agency means the state agency that provides the grant. And if you look at all the direction which the state, you know, this whole thing that came out of the legislative auditors, it's all dealing with state agencies, not local political subdivisions, which have a whole different genre of how they do all kinds of different kinds of grants. So, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, that's my suggestion.
Representative Simon, do you want to comment, or do you want to take this up as it proceeds?
No, Mr. Chairman, I'm not going to move any such amendments, and I would oppose one if it were to be moved.
Okay. We're back to this is Representative Simon's amendment, sorry. Is there any more discussion of Representative Simon's A4 amendment? Okay, then all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? No? Carries. Representative Simon, A5.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The A5 amendment is, this is a vital piece from the Department of Revenue, and note that it doesn't pertain directly to Chapter 13, but I'm told by custom and usage that every year, going back many, many years, this has always been included, and I see Representative Holberg nodding. Maybe I could have, Mr. Chair, with your permission, someone from the Department of Revenue here to explain it, since we haven't previously heard it.
Mr. Walzer? You're standing.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Rick Walzer. I'm the staff attorney with the Department of Revenue. You want me to go through each section?
No, could you explain it very quickly, if there's questions, then we can explain it further.
I believe that these are all fairly technical changes to Minnesota Statutes Chapter 270B, which is the Department of Revenue Tax Disclosure and Data Practices Chapter, except for the last section, which has to do with a transfer of...
Pardon me, just for one second, Representative Simon, didn't we hear this?
Yes, you did.
Oh, well, then we don't need testimony, unless somebody wants it. But we already heard this. This is the department's bill, and the only reason it wasn't originally in is there was confusion, and we found out that someone thought that it couldn't go in the data practices because it wasn't Chapter 13, but we talked to the tax experts here, Joel Michael, and they said it's always been in that practices bill, so there's no point in taking testimony. We've already heard it.
Mr. Chair, I'll raise the same point that I did before. I'm still not convinced this is a great idea to allow tax data to be given to local officials to determine their compliance with job C zones, and I'm not going to raise a major stink, but I think it's something we should spend at least some time considering. I understand the rationale from the Department of Revenue, but I just don't like the idea of mayors and city council members having access to income tax revenues from businesses and. So something to ponder in the next 30 days.
Representative Simon, that's probably a good idea because she might raise that on the floor, and I think there'll be more than her that's concerned about.
And I'm, Mr. Chair.
Representative Simon.
Yeah, I'm absolutely willing to discuss that with Representative Holberg.
There may be some way to define it a little tighter or something.
Sure.
Okay. Then is there any more discussion on the A5? Okay, then all in favor of the A5 say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. Carries. Representative Simon, A6.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is the last of my amendments. The A6 amendment simply makes clear that, and I see from the amendment that it might not be clear exactly. Well, let's see here. Page 6. Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah. As you may know, members, it's increasingly, I guess, common for a lot of people to use the last four digits or some combination of digits from a Social Security number. We already say, as you can see in current law, that that's private. Why not make any portion of a Social Security number private? If the government has your Social Security number, doing the whole last four digits thing ought to probably be included in that. That's all it is.
Is there any discussion of that? Looks okay to everybody. Okay, then all in favor of the A6 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, no. Carries. Representative De La Forest offers the 531 amendment.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, thank you. Members, if you've sat on the Civil Law Committee in the past, you will recognize this amendment. It's sort of become my annual amendment that seems to get lost and used as trade bait in conference committee. So now with a new chief author, perhaps, we'll move through with this. But no, I'm still kind of over it. But
a little tension in the Republican.
No, I love the range. I love Representative Forest. But in all seriousness, members, I hope you take a close look at this amendment. This really was an idea from Mr. Don Gemberling. I talked to him a bit. He has a well-deserved reputation as being perhaps the foremost expert regarding Chapter 13. And there is a problem out there, and it's hard to get empirical data because employees are obviously intimidated, but there are a lot of jurisdictions in Minnesota flouting the Data Practices Act, intentionally withholding data or altering data. And so what this amendment does, as you can see, is it puts more bite into the fine that would be levied in two areas. If you look at line 12, that is, and you'll notice if you go back to line 11 for a moment, for a willful violation, we're moving the penalties up, or that's what I seek to do, from not less than $5,000 to not more than $50,000, again, for a willful violation of the Data Practices Act. I then draw your attention briefly to line 15. This is a motion to compel. In other words, if the court already rules that a person's entitled to the data and a local unit of government, for example, is dragging its feet, the court has a little bit of ammunition here to spank the local units of government for their failure to comply with their legal obligation. Finally, I'd mention I have corresponded with Representative Simon, and my understanding is that he's supportive of the amendment as well. So that is my amendment. I'd be happy to entertain any questions.
Well, Representative De La Forest, I thought you were always trying to save taxes, not spend tax money.
Well, Mr. Chairman, that's only when government is behaving correctly. This is a really good piece of law, and I think this enforcement mechanism is overdue. To the best of my knowledge, the $100 up to $10,000 hasn't been changed since the law was first written.
Representative Simon?
Yes, Mr. Chair. In years past, I supported this. I support it strongly this time. And remember, members, that there are two basic flavors of Data Practices Act violation. One is the failure to produce something, but the other is producing something that you shouldn't. And I actually had a client, this is just a horrific tale, a client in the latter category, just so you know, we think of data practices as kind of dry, boring stuff. I had a client who, this was terrible. With a state agency, he had a laptop computer, and he went to get it fixed at the agency's computer place where they get stuff fixed, and someone flagged some images on his hard drive, and someone erroneously thought that there was child porn on his laptop. Ended up not being true, but someone thought that. Ended up being a big misunderstanding. Well, guess what? Someone leaked that to a reporter. Someone who didn't like him leaked it to a reporter. It got out that this state employee had a government worker had child porn on his computer. It was not true. It was willfully done. Imagine any of you if you were falsely accused of having child porn on your computer. Imagine the damage, lifelong damage to your reputation, something like that getting out. This guy's reputation was absolutely shredded, and that's what can happen. I mean, that's a very extreme example, but that happened here in Minnesota just a few years ago. So it's very, very serious. Not just when you ask government for something and they don't give it to you, but the opposite, which is when they do disclose stuff, very private stuff, in a circumstance like this. Just imagine this guy. Nothing, no apology can ever make up for that. You'll be able to Google him forever, and when you Google him, it'll come up with child porn, and it won't have the articles about how he was exonerated and it was all a big mistake. I mean, you can't unring that bell ever. So it's very, very serious. That's my soapbox, but it's true.
Sounds like circle meets.
I think Representative De La Forest, Mr. Chair, has a good advocate for conference committee. Maybe something won't end up as trade bait this year.
Although,
and Mr. Chair, just might put in my 2 cents worth.
Representative Holberg may be on that conference committee, and may not be too easy to bend around.
Former representative and Senator Skoglund will not.
Fair enough.
So I think we're ready to vote on the De La Forest Amendment. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, no. Carries. Representative Simon, it's the last amendment I see, and I think Representative Westrum.
I actually have an amendment, one similar to this and one that does deal with this provision. I believe it just got back in the room. It's coming. But, Mr. Chair, it's a change of basically one phrase. And if there's not other amendments on paper, I could have Mr. Gehring from House Research just indicate what we're changing willful to negligent. But I can wait if others are available with amendments.
Mr. Chair, so this amendment is amending the same thing that Representative De La Forest just changed. So I guess the best place to see that would be on his amendment. So on the 531 amendment, line 11, it would strike the word willful. And after the violation,
Mr. Gehring, I think it's easier to just do it as another amendment than to take back the amendment that's been passed.
No,
it's actually been passed right now, Mr. Chair.
Because it wasn't here.
That's why I'm saying let's do that.
Okay.
Rather than going back to an amendment that's passed, reconsidering it and all that, it's easier just to do this amendment, I think.
Okay.
Okay. Go ahead. So,
Mr. Chair, I move the A3 amendment. That's
okay.
The one being handed.
Representative Westrum's moves the A3 amendment.
And Mr. Chair, in a similar vein as Representative De La Forest's amendment, which was the second amendment I had, which didn't change the penalties quite as high, but that's okay with me. Representative Simon, the language I would change would be willful to a negligent standard, which still is a fairly high standard, but arguably not probably as high as willful. And willful is a very, very difficult standard for anybody to prove. And if nobody's going to talk, it becomes very tough for somebody who's been violated to get enough evidence put together to demonstrate that there was a violation, and so that's what the A3 amendment would do.
Well, I don't know what you think, Representative Simon, but I would guess that that's going to hurt what you and De La Forest have put together. I think I'm guessing that makes it so wide open, so resulting from an act of negligence, I think creates a lot of problems for you and.
Well,
also,
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I mean, my thoughts on it would be, my understanding in working with the Data Practices Act for a few years is that the reason why exemplary damages are offered in 13.08 is precisely because the violation was willful. So one thing Representative Westrum is doing is he's lowering one side while we increase the other. And so I leave it to the will of the committee, but I am uncomfortable with a negligence standard being substituted. Perhaps if there was a new subdivision that had different penalties for merely a negligent violation, I would be comfortable with that, but I'll admit I'm uncomfortable with increased penalties when we're lowering the standard from willful to negligent. That's my two cents.
Representative Simon, I think personally I agree a lot with Go ahead, Representative.
Well, Mr. Chair, I agree also, and I actually like the idea, and we can work on that maybe a separate section for negligent, because negligent is just not exercising reasonable care.
Right.
And I think maybe a separate section that affords some relief, but maybe not the same relief, I'd be happy to work with you on that.
So
I would respectfully oppose the amendment, but I think we can work out
And Mr. Chair, Representative Simons, I'd be happy to work with you. I think it'd be pretty simple to take my other amendment, add this in, and then have research staff create a new section. Let me just offer this suggestion if you are interested at all. I mean, we just had the discussion about conference committee. It certainly helps put you in a bargaining position for conference committee by adding this in. I at least would argue, if you're interested in that, I would like to vote on the amendment, but if you're not, I'd withdraw the amendment and would be more than happy to work with you between now and the floor if we could on a different subject.
Representative Simon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Westrom. My personal preference would be that you withdraw it now and that we can work on it and maybe tweak the language.
All right. Mr. Chair, with that, I'll withdraw the A3 amendment. And,
okay. Then we have Representative Hillstrom would like to move basically to add House File 131, which we already passed to the General Register, and Representative Simon, this is the Social Security number. I believe she's talked to everybody, but Representative Hillstrom, would you explain your amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House File 131 passed out of this committee, passed through a number of other committees, and had broad general support. I worked with all the stakeholders on the issue. There was very little opposition to it, and given the fact that we already adopted it and there is a provision on Social Security numbers in this bill, I'd like to amend it on.
Representative Holbert.
Mr. Chair, and Representative Hillstrom, did you have the opportunity to talk to some of the people that you're working with about putting this in here? Like, I don't know who the actors were, but I knew initially when the bill was introduced, there was a lot of people very concerned, and I know that seems to be kumbaya.
Mr. Chair.
I'm sorry, Representative Holbert.
Chair, I asked a question of Representative Hillstrom. I think she's
Representative Hillstrom, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Holbert, I had let them know that I would be looking for an omnibus vehicle to put it in. I didn't specifically identify this particular one, but I certainly should be sending out an email letting everyone know that this is where it landed.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Simon.
I support the amendment, Mr. Chair.
Unless there's further discussion, okay. All in favor of Representative Hillstrom's motion, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say no. Carries. Are there any other amendments to Representative Simon's omnibus? Okay. Any further discussion? Okay. Then all in favor of the Simon motion to pass it and re-refer it to the General Register, say aye.
Mr. Chair,
aye. Oh, I'm sorry. Representative Holbert?
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I see that House File 1302 has been passed out, and that has classification of criminal justice data. Was that supposed to be the Kalin bill? Was that supposed to be moved onto the data practices bill? I just don't know why.
I hadn't heard anything about it. What is... Representative Kalin?
Mr. Chair, Representative Holbert, Mr. Baldwin and I are just clarifying that right now. And so...
Mr. Chair, I think he's running out of time.
Right.
We're just getting ready to vote, but this would be appropriate for the data practices bill.
Well, that's exactly what we're... If we could hold off 20 seconds, I think we'll actually be at our decision on that. If that's okay with you, Mr. Chair and Representative Holbert.
Mr. Chair. During this brief intervention, could I ask a question about the rest of the day today and tomorrow? Could you give us a little bit of insight in terms of what your thoughts are for the rest of the day today and tomorrow? I know that there's some talk about possibly coming back this evening. If so, are we going to recess? Are we going to adjourn? What are we going to do? And what time will we be meeting tomorrow? And what will we be taking up tomorrow in addition to the omnibus crime bill that I know that members on my side now have?
Representative Coles. Okay. There's the... we definitely will come back this evening. We've got still a lot of work to do. We've got all of the bills, for instance, that came from Commerce that we couldn't work on last night. We're not going to take testimony, but we're going to go through those. We've got quite a number of bills that wouldn't fit into an omnibus civil bill, and so we're going to take up those. We're going to do the omnibus property bill. We're going to do the omnibus crime bill. And we are probably going to do most of the omnibus property ones on their own also because we're having problems. The Senate had told us they were going to do omnibus on that, and now they're not going to. So I talked to Mr. Shepard, and he suggested that we do it both ways. Representative Coles.
Mr. Chair, I know Ms. Benson's been good about getting emails out, and I know the schedule's updated, but could you remind me what time we're coming back tonight?
6 o'clock.
And
I'm sorry, Representative Coles.
That's fine, Mr. Chair. And then tomorrow morning, I spoke with Mr. Baldwin briefly, and he mentioned probably starting at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. Is that correct?
Representative Coles, I think it will be later, maybe 9 or 9:30. I'm not sure.
So I get an extra hour of sleep, Mr. Chair?
Pardon?
I get an extra hour of sleep, is that what you're telling me?
Representative Coles, part of it will depend on, you know, what we get done tonight.
Okay.
And so...
The situation is fluid, Mr. Chair, is what you're telling me.
At this point, as you know, after 10 years here, things are really fluid at this point in the year. Representative Ola.
Chairman, I just got a question, because when I was on the floor just now, I thought Representative Paymar said he needed an hour, and he was starting at 5:30 tonight.
Yeah.
Well,
I thought he said an hour. If he said a half hour, we're all right. Otherwise, we're overlapping with the same people and same committees.
We have had 6 o'clock set for a week.
I know you have, and then he came with that 5:30.
Over a week. 2 weeks.
I realize that, but I know that's what he said on a bill.
Chair, I would suggest that we might need an hour. I'm not looking to drag out Chair Paymar's committee, but I know there's one bill up in his committee, the Atkins bill, that I'm sure there are going to be some questions on, and maybe an amendment or two. I don't know. I don't have one.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Paymar.
You could stay in this committee while we take up the Atkins bill.
I don't know.
Well, whatever we do, Mr. Chair, I'll leave that for you and Representative Paymar to figure out. If we start back at 6, that's great. If we start back at 6:30 or 7, we'll make it work. So, well, I look forward to a long evening with all of you.
Close and personal friends like Sid Hartman.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Representative Holberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And on the, at least the latest postings I've seen, you have the photocop bill up first, and we have Ways and Means tonight starting at 6:30 as well, and I'm just wondering, number one, is it your intent to take additional testimony or amendments to that bill, number one? Are you going to bring it up first?
Representative Holberg, we were going to move the ones from Commerce first, the ones we couldn't vote on last night. You and I both have a lot of concerns about the bill you're talking about, and I would prefer that you be there. How long, without going through this back and forth, Chair and Representative Holberg, how long do you think that would be before you could be here?
Well, sure, how about I just talk to you about that?
Okay, because... And that one, I might take a little more testimony because they were supposed to get some more information for you. And so I think we might allow some testimony to see if they've gotten that corrected, your issue and my issue on it, if that's okay with you.
All right, thank you, Mr.
Okay.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Kalin.
Returning to House File 1360. If we're ready.
Okay.
I would like to move that the language in House File 1302 be amended onto House File 1361, the DE1 amendment.
Oh.
And just briefly, this is a bill that we heard on March 14th, and and just clarifies that for the photos... that they can be accessed not just by law enforcement but criminal justice agencies, which I think is currently the practice now, and just kind of actually saves trips down to the courthouse and then also the public defenders, and more clearly lays out the purposes of accessing the images and the photographs. And I don't believe that there was any controversy when we heard this a couple of weeks ago. I guess it's a week ago. Feels like a couple of weeks ago. And I believe that Representative Holberg, obviously being the number two author, is also on board, and Representative Simon as well, that this is the proper location for it.
I'm sorry, Representative Kalin, are you
ready to vote?
Just ready to vote then?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. getting information on the next
one. It was my most eloquent speech I've given ever, Mr. Chair.
Well, then it'll be on the news tonight, so, and in all kinds of publications. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, no. Carries. Are we ready?
One quick question, Mr. Chair, maybe for Representative Simon or for Ms. Iyer Karpinski. Is that close? I know that the chair had a bill, I believe it was House File 93. Was it 93?
Yeah.
Is that in here?
That's in there. Yes.
Oh, well, there was one related to parole officers and information related to permit. Is that in this bill?
Right.
Section 48. Chair and Representative Coles, it is in section 48.
48
of the DE1. But
you're thinking of a different one.
Okay.
Representative Coles, that's the one that Joe Olson agreed to, the language everybody agreed to.
Mr. Chair, I think the question is section 47 was also stated to be part of that bill, and was your... Well, no. I thought I heard Ms. Byer-Kavinsky say section 47 was... Well, in fact, it's marked on my cheat sheet here that it was part of House File 93, and I thought that the Joel Olson amendment was a delete-all amendment.
Representative Holberg, I don't think that the 47 had any... I never had that.
Right.
Mr. Guerin?
Mr. Chair, House File 47 was in the original version of 1360 as a technical amendment, so this section of the bill doesn't come from House File 93 at all.
No.
So the only piece of 93 is section 48.
Yes. Okay.
And that was the agreed on language.
The clarification is section 47 was part of 1360.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, we're ready to vote.
Yeah.
Okay. All in favor of the Simon motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, no. Carries. Thank you, Representative Simon. Okay, we'll... Which one do we have now? 1500? Okay. Then we'll take up the House File 999, which we had laid over for possible inclusion. This is the Mahoney bill regarding the ability to go back to court to change the amount of child support if the child moves to a foreign country. Is there any discussion? At the time, I believe there was no problems with this. Okay, then, all in favor, say aye.
I'm sorry,
I didn't state the motion. Chair will make the motion to move this to the floor passage and goes to the general register.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Kalen?
I didn't have the... I have the bill now.
Okay.
And I believe there may be discussion to it, Mr. Chair.
There is?
I'd just like to know what it... I'd like to hear some discussion about what it's doing.
Well, Representative Paymer, what it does is if a child is moved by the parent, the custodial parent, to a foreign country, the non-custodial parent can go back to the court and seek a change in child support based on the fact that the living standards in another country may not require as much money to have the same living standards as the cost here.
Is this a problem that's been going on? I'm trying to understand where it's coming from.
Well, Representative Mahoney from your city was the one that pushed it. There was no discussion when we had it because everybody seemed to think it was okay.
When it comes to child support issues, Representative Mahoney,
legislators once in a while. Representative Hillstrom, did you have a...
Thank you, Mr. Chair. When this came up, I did ask Representative Mahoney if he had any intention of amending on any other child support issues on the floor. And he assured this committee that this would not be a vehicle for all of his other child support
issues. Well, and before... and just to make sure for those that are concerned about Mahoney's other passion, which is the
physical joint custody, he assured me he would not use that as a vehicle for that issue. So, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My only concern is that just because Representative Mahoney said he would not, doesn't mean he would not allow someone else to.
Representative Hillstrom, he actually told me he wouldn't allow it.
Okay. All right,
so,
Mr. Chair. So, Mr. Chair, if he does offer up, then you'll request that that bill comes back to this committee?
I will request that.
Thank you.
I can't promise what might happen, but he sat and thought for a minute before he answered me, and then he said yes. So I assume that that will be it. Okay, all in favor of 999, say aye.
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 All opposed, no?
No.
Carries. The Smith bill, is that the next one?
Sure.
1500. This is Representative Smith's... don't we have that?
There's two in
there. Okay. This is Representative Smith's bill for the Department, Representative Holbert.
I'd be happy to move House Bill 1500.
Thank you.
And for recollection, most of this was just technical changes to...
Most of it's stripped.
Yeah, to implement the law that was enacted last year that he'd worked like 8 years on.
Yes, Representative Holberg, you're correct. This is the Smith law on child support. It had a lot of things from the department in it, and Representative Smith disagreed with a lot of them and stripped them out, and I was just going to have Mr. Gehring explain what was stripped out, but it's almost everything. Go ahead.
Mr. Chair, perhaps Mr. Newman might tell us what remains in the bill, because I think
okay, that's
what
we're easier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair, I apologize. I don't have the folder with you with all the amendments. I just know that it was amended, and as you stated, much of it was stripped out.
Mr. Chair, I think it, at this point, is non-controversial. It's technical changes needed to implement the legislation that we passed. Representative Hillstrom may choose to disagree.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I did even support one amendment to this provision. My concern, however, is, again, I don't want vehicles on the floor for which we're going to be offering up Representative Mahoney's bill. And so has anyone talked to Representative Smith about whether or not he would be interested in having this be a vehicle bill?
Representative Holger?
Go ahead.
Representative Holger?
I've been assured by Mr. Verdon, who has the highest reputation working with this committee, that it is not Representative Smith's intention to take amendments on the floor that would make this controversial.
You know, can we, is there a halo around Mr. Burton's head? Or
Mr. Chair, we love Mr. Burton.
Well, Representative Holberg, you weren't here yesterday when Representative Cole said he was going to throw up us. okay, it's just a very technical bill that's left, and is everybody comfortable with voting on this then?
Aye.
Okay, this motion is to send it to the passage and send it to the general register. Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. Carries. What's the next one? Oh, 1396 is the next one. This is, and the chair will move it for Representative Mador, and this is the one, Mr. Verdon, that I explained there was the amendment. A lot of us didn't like the original bill, and the amendment is that the Bar Association and the courts will study the whole issue of guardianships, conservatorships, vulnerable adults. This is the one I, Representative Coles, this is the one I talked to you about that would look into the issue of your bill, roughly 977, those types of things.
Mr. Chair, where was the amendment put on? Because all I have in front of me is the bill that
was
introduced.
It was put on in...
some trouble and the bill is introduced.
Yes, believe me. It was a delete all amendment.
Can we do that one tonight, Mr. Chair, when we have it in front of us, please?
Okay.
I'm sorry, I see lots of problems I know you have with the bill that's introduced. I'd like to see the deleted
okay.
Before we act.
Okay, why are we not...
Do we have anything?
Do we have any bills we can do?
I know, but we could have handed out the amendment that was adopted so that they can make it.
Do we have anything we can do? Well, I'm asking. This one, a couple of weeks ago. Do we have anything? Well, we only got 10 minutes left.
Up beyond belief. I'll recommend one.
Members will just recess for about 5 minutes while they.
Is that amended to the computer? Do you still have that?
Committee will come back for order. We now have the. We now have the UE1 amendment to 1396 in front of us. As I explained, this was a state court administration will form a study group, and they will work with the Bar Association, the Minnesota Association for Guardianship and Conservatorship, other agencies, to look into the whole issue of guardianships, conservatorships, what is needed possibly for training guardians and conservators, what is possibly like continuing education, what should be required as far as bonds, vulnerable adults issues, etc., and that they will report back to us next January. So, Representative Coles.
Mr. Chair, I think the language here looks good, assuming that what we are doing is deleting the entire, whatever the bill, 1396. I don't see this. This appears to just be drafted as a bill. It's not styled as a delete-all amendment. Can I get some understanding in terms of when this went on, or if we can just
Move
this as a delete-all, then I think we're good.
Representative, we already moved it as a delete-all, and that's why it's in this form. Is that correct, Mr. Chair?
Mr. Chair, this is the unofficial engrossment after the delete-all was adopted to this bill.
So is everybody okay with this then? Okay, then all of you, Representative Bigham?
Mr. Chair, thank you. Is there any fiscal note or any monetary value that will be given to the study group?
Representative Bigham, it doesn't provide for anything like that, and I don't think so.
Mr. Chair, has the courts weighed in on this? Are they okay with absorbing this in their budget?
Representative Bigham, I don't know, but when they came in to me in December, I talked to them about this, and they talked about, they were, before we got into this, they talked about doing that. So,
Okay.
All in favor, Representative Cole?
I was just going to say, Mr. Chair, Representative Bigham, we have often done small studies like this where there's probably not going to be a lot of expense. The legislature certainly can require the court to do something and not give them the funding to do it. We've done it before. It's not maybe the best practice, but I haven't heard anybody object to this, and I'm sure we'll hear from them if they do as this thing reaches the floor. So.
And Representative Coles, I agree, and I think this is something they should be doing, and since they talked about doing it before we talked about it, I would guess that they can absorb it, and they didn't ask me for money for it. So all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, no. Carries. The last bill for today is Representative Thiessen's bill 117. To speed things up, I'll move 117. This was the personal jurisdiction issue that would apply. I don't remember the international shoe case offhand, but Mr. Gehring, could you quickly explain it?
Mr. Chair, this requires, or this permits certain plaintiffs to bring causes of action in a Minnesota court against defendants who are not in Minnesota when they're bringing a claim based on defamation or privacy, so long as they show the currently required minimum contacts. So it doesn't automatically grant jurisdiction in a case of defamation of privacy. It just allows that to happen if you show the other constitutional requirements.
And I was just informed by our CA that I'm too old for international shoe case.
Mr. Chair, I believe I rescued a B out of my con law course recently by relying on international shoe quite a bit. So.
Is there any discussion further on this bill? The motion would be for passage and re-referral to the floor, the general register. Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no.
No.
I believe it carried. All in favor, pardon me, it carried. And we are in recess now till 6 o'clock. We reconvene. We were recessed, and so we're going to take up some bills very quickly that we heard, and they're in the omnibus that's out on some of them are, and also we're going to also send them to the floor, as I discussed with Dennis Verdon and Paul Coles and the rest of you. So the first one would be House File 1225, that is Representative Olin's bill for the Bar Association straightening out the construction issue where if a construction company was sued under the present law, they can't go after the indemnity or for contribution because the law cuts off their statute earlier. So this just corrects that, and there was no opposition to that. And so the chair will move that for passage and referral to the floor. Is there any discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, no. Carries. The next one is House File 211. This is the Zeller's bill regarding mortgage applications. It's to stop people from sending out information on some of the extensive
information to induce people into mortgages that's incorrect information. I think there was no opposition in either this committee or in Commerce, as I believe Representative De La Forest.
That's correct, Mr. Chairman. And so Representative Zellers is here. I'd move the bill. I don't know if
Oh, I moved it, but...
okay. Yeah, you're correct, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Is there any discussion of that? Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? No. Carries. We'll skip down to Representative Marquardt's bill. We heard that last night, but the jackets weren't here from the other committee. It's just regarding surveyors and their plats. The Bar Association was okay with it. I'll move that. House File 1919. Is there any discussion of that? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, no. Carries. The next bill is the House File 1074, the Rood bill. We didn't pass that. There it is. Since we heard it. Oh, okay. There's an amendment apparently, an A3 amendment, which we had discussed at the time, but we couldn't move it onto the bill because we didn't have the bill. And so the chair will move the bill, and this is for passage and referral to the general register. And chair will move the A3 amendment to get it in the shape the author wanted. All in favor of that amendment, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, no. Carries. Now, this bill was, as you know, the Uniform Act, and basically there was pretty much agreed upon except for a couple of things. Representative Holbert had an issue and I had an issue, and we agreed to have it go out of committee and to the floor. And Representative Holbert also agreed with me to work with them on it. The author agreed to work with both of us, and so it was agreed, if you remember, to go to the floor. Is there any discussion then? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, no.
No.
Carries. Okay, the next one is House File 1824. This was the Faust amusement ride bill. Everybody heard it, informational. This is another one. We didn't have the bill jacket last night, so we couldn't act on it. The motion would be from the chair to pass it and refer it to the general register. Is there any discussion of this?
Okay. Mr. Speaker, I would remember to vote no. I think we heard it last night. I think it's government overreach. I don't think it's necessary. I'd urge members to vote no.
Representative Bowles, are you trying to get me in trouble?
No, I'm not asking for discussion. I'm just
no. Representative Bowles, you called me Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Chair, I don't know if I should apologize for a demotion or congratulate you for the promotion. thank you, Mr. Chair. I respect this vote.
Okay. All in favor of the motion to pass it on, vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed, no.
No.
It carries. Is the damning one is not controversial, isn't it? He's right there. I can't remember. We're not on the predatory lending one. It's the other one.
The other one? All right.
We're not taking testimony right now. This was heard, another one referred over last night. I didn't think that this one had any, I don't remember anybody that had problems with this one.
What's the bill number?
I'm sorry, it's 1758, liability for security breaches. Was there... anybody that had, I don't remember any problems with this one.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Dabney.
Thank you. A couple of things. One, there is an amendment that hopefully the committee has on House File 1758.
It's coded
48548. Thank you, Representative Cole.
Representative Dabney, I will first of all move your bill for passage and sending it to the floor. Yes, it's here, 758. And, no,
1758.
1758. The bill, 1758. And it's Amendment 548. I will move.
Just checking. Thought it was worth checking.
We can go ahead.
We can go ahead.
Okay. I will move Representative Dabney's 548 amendment to get in the shape you want. Representative Dabney, is there? Do you want to explain that? Since this is new from last night.
Yes, certainly. Thank you, Mr. Chair. What the 548 amendment does is it's partly technical, especially the part on page 1, line 15, chip and magnetic, delete chip and insert magnetic stripe. That is agreed on with the Retailers Association. Much of the rest of the document also does two things. It responds to concerns that the retailers had brought up about the notwithstanding language and focusing the bill down on financial institutions and not borrowers being able to bring forward a right of action under this legislation. So again, narrowing the bill after discussions with the Retailers Association.
Okay. So, Representative Dabney, this is now an agreement with the Retailers Association?
Or? Mr. Chair, I don't want to mischaracterize it. There are still issues of discussion. I'm merely trying to indicate that we have been in negotiations with the retailers and are responding to some of the concerns that they've brought forward.
Okay. Is there any opposition to this? I'll allow short, but there doesn't seem to be anybody. Okay. Is there any discussion among the members then?
We're going to adopt the...
We didn't vote on that, did we? Okay, all in favor of the 548 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, no. Carries. Thank you, Representative Cole. Is there any... I'm sorry,
Mr. Chair, Representative Dabney, as I mentioned last night, I like the bill, I like where you're going. I still have some concerns about the language of 2.34, 2.35, where we are identifying that any action brought by a borrower under this chapter is in the public interest. I'm still concerned about the breadth of that. Mr. Chair, Representative Dabney, I'd like to move to delete that sentence. If I can get comfortable between now and when this bill comes to the floor in terms of why that's necessary, because I just don't see that as being necessary to the bill and what we're trying to do. As you and I discussed last night, I like where this is headed. I think it's the right direction, but I just don't think that's necessary. I'm not exactly sure what it does, and it makes me a little uncomfortable.
Representative Downey?
Mr. Chair, Representative Coles, thank you. I appreciate the discussion. I am not comfortable with your amendment. The issue before the committee and that section of the bill is about whether retailers properly handling customers' private data is in the public interest. And I think helping to ensure consumers that their private data will be handled responsibly by retailers is, in fact, in the public interest and an appropriate task for this legislature. So with that, I would oppose the Coles Amendment.
Representative Coles, you said you... I didn't know if you made a... You said I'd like to, but
no,
you
I'm
didn't...
No, I do move that on line 2.34 and 2.35, we delete the sentence, the private right of action by a borrower under this chapter is in the public interest.
Okay. Representative Coles moves... Representative Coles, you're just moving on the end of line 2.34, a private right of, and then on 2.35, action by a borrower under this chapter is in the public interest.
Correct. Correct. Yes.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, just for Representative Abney, for the committee, whether the amendment passes or fails, I look forward to continuing to work with Representative Abney on this, the whole bill, and on this specific issue.
And Representative Abney opposes that. So all in favor of the Cole's motion, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, no.
No.
The no's carry. Let's see. Okay, is there any more discussion on the bill?
Mr. Chair, I can simply assure the committee that I will be continuing to work with the Retailers Association. I'd be glad to work with Representative Coles as the bill moves forward to the General Register.
Mr. Chair, I urge members to, I've worked with Representative Abney on these types of issues before. I absolutely urge members to vote yes on the bill allowing the committee here.
Okay. Thank you. Yes, the motion is for passage to the general, as amended to the General Register. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, no. Carries.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Okay. Representative Dabney, we have, again, you might be around for questions if you want. We're not directly taking testimony on the bills from last night. The chair will move House File 1004, the predatory lending practice bill, and I think everybody remembers it from last night. This is the portion of the bill, and is there an amendment to this, Representative Downey?
Mr. Chair, members should have the AO70542 amendment.
In order to get the bill in the shape that the author wants, I will move the 0542 amendment to Representative Dabney's bill 1004. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, no. Carries. Representative Dabney, do you want to explain the new amendment?
Yes, Mr. Chair, members. Let me explain that since this bill was heard last evening, and I want to thank the committee for that time, we have reached a global agreement with all stakeholders, and that this the 0542 amendment represents a consensus position of everyone who's been around the table the last several months looking at predatory lending. House File 1004 now is a powerful tool for consumers, for the lending industry, and for communities. It provides assurances to consumers of access to credit, while also assuring them of fair treatment and appropriate protections in the borrowing process. At the same time, it assures brokers that they will have clear, objective standards with which to conduct their business, and assures communities that the opportunity of home ownership is far less likely in Minnesota to deteriorate into a nightmare that is devastating for far too many. With me tonight is Ms. Hawkins from the Legal Services Advocacy Project. Mr. Chair, if I could, I'd like to at this point thank thank Attorney General Lori Swanson and members of her staff, the staff of the Legal Services Advocacy Project of ACORN and of the City of Minneapolis, as well as the staff of the Minnesota Mortgage Brokers Association for the many hours of work that have gone into this issue and House File 1004 in reaching this agreement. With that, Mr. Chair, I'd ask that Ms. Hawkins be recognized to walk the members through the amendment.
Ms. Hawkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. In the interest of time, would it be your preference that I walk through each provision of the bill, or that I...
Ms. Hawkins, I think briefly, because I don't know of any opposition, so if members have questions, then you can expand on it, but do it quite briefly.
Okay, I'll just hit the highlights then, Mr. Chairman. The first thing...
We just did upstairs.
Oh, first of all, my name is Amber Hawkins. I'm with the Legal Services Advocacy Project. Legal Aid was a member of the Attorney General's Task Force, which gave rise to this bill, and we'd just like to thank Representative Dabney and everyone else who has worked on this bill. This bill changes several things about Minnesota law with respect to lending practices. One of the things this bill does is require in every mortgage loan transaction the verification of a borrower's ability to repay the loan. This means that for an adjustable rate loan, that borrower has to be able to show that they... Even faster than that. Okay. Borrowers have to
more than verify. One word every 5 seconds.
Borrowers have to verify that they can repay the loan. They can't just say what their income or assets are and without proving it. Another thing this this bill does is counts fees paid from the lender to the mortgage broker in the 5% fee cap that's currently in law. Currently, Minnesota law says lender fees can't be rolled into a mortgage if they exceed 5%. And what we're doing is including, the bill includes fees paid from the lender to the mortgage broker. Another thing this bill does is prohibits what we call churning here in Minnesota. That's
We heard this last night.
Okay.
Please just, if there's a change from last night that's major, then explain that.
Okay.
Otherwise, not.
Sure.
We're taking testimony tonight.
Some significant changes from last night. We had a the bill had a presumption of churning. In some circumstances, the court was directed to presume that churning had occurred, and that was removed from the bill. So now the bill just has a prohibition on churning. The bill used to include counting third-party closing costs toward the 5% cap on lender fees. It no longer includes those costs, so closing costs are not going to be counted toward that cap. The another change is a big change was in the verification of ability to repay. This change came in response to the concerns raised by the industry, and in particular the people from emerging markets constituencies. The bill still requires, the bill requires for all loans verification of income and financial resources before the loan can be made. However, if the lender wants to make the loan based on other criteria, they can use other criteria as long as those criteria are also verified. Those are the main changes in the bill. Thank you. Sorry.
I was about ready to vote again.
Before we get to that, we have discovered one drafting error in the bill. And if you would be good enough to move on page 4, line 32, delete the paren 22 and insert paren 23 so that
of the amendment or
of the amendment. I apologize, sir. I can do that again. And on the 0542 amendment, page 4, line 32, delete paren 22 and paren, insert paren 23 and paren.
Okay, Representative Dabney move, or I move.
Yes.
A change on line 4.32 of the amendment from 22 to 23. All in favor of that amendment say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. Carries. Representative Downey, I believe the bill is now in the shape you wanted it.
And I believe you'd like to take a vote.
I think Representative Halls.
One quick question, Mr. Chair. Representative Dabney, I don't recall, it probably happened, but I don't recall the discussion last night about the cap on fees. As I'm looking at the bill, I want to make sure I understand this right. Mm-hmm. There already is in law a 5% cap, correct?
That's
Representative Dabney.
Mr. Chair, Representative Coles, that's correct.
So can you explain to me one more time, very briefly, what it is we're doing related to the 5% cap, so I understand the language.
Very briefly.
Mr. Chair, Representative Coles. currently Minnesota law says that you can't roll more than 5% of lender fees into a loan. Lender fees include primarily things like origination fees, discount points, that sort of thing. What this does is include in that 5% cap fees that are paid from the lender to the broker outside of closing. This addresses what's commonly referred to as a yield spread premium, where the broker receives compensation from the borrower, maybe up front on the closing, and where the lender also pays the broker some funds, sometimes in typically because the broker has gotten the borrower to sign up for a higher interest rate than the lender would have given them.
Mr. Chair, I think a yes or no question for Representative Dabney. I think it can be answered yes or no. Are the brokers on board with this piece, or are they supportive or opposed to this piece of the bill right now?
Representative Dabney.
That wasn't a yes or no question, but they are supportive.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Dabney.
Thank you. Representative Cole's asking what yield spread is. Most attorneys have no idea what it is, so it's not unusual to ask that. Representative De La Forest.
Mr. Chairman, thanks. I just had one question. I'm following this bill from Commerce Committee as well. Ms. Hawkins, this bill will affect thousands of people. How are we defining reasonable ability to pay? What kind of guidance are we giving brokers and consumers when we say that this is the law of the land?
Ms. Hawkins.
Mr. Chair, Representative De La Forest, what the intent of this provision is to the verification piece is really the goal of this provision. So whatever mortgage brokers and lenders have been using as their benchmark for ability to repay should remain the same. This provision really just requires verification of those items. In effect, it will disallow this loan where a borrower just states their income without providing any verification of it.
Mr. Chairman, I appreciate that, and I think there are a lot of really good things in this bill, but I just will say that continues to trouble me when we have a big part of the bill that is based on such a subjective phrase. I don't know, there's probably a better way if we think about it to do that, maybe something going forward. I'm just troubled by that kind of guidance that is so subjective. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any further discussion? Okay, then all in favor of the motion to pass it and refer to the General Register, say aye.
Aye.
As amended. All opposed say no. Carries.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
You have two, I believe. Representative Simon, I believe you're doing the 1841 first. We've already heard this. This is the one allowing. I represent Simon. You can give your hand. Just trying to move.
No, thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a bill that some of us have heard. This is now the third time because it was before Representative Lesch's subcommittee. But the full committee here, your committee, Mr. Chair, has heard it already. This is the bill that would allow the victim of domestic abuse who has obtained a court order or some kind of order for protection or a restraining order to get out of a residential lease early, not without consequences. She would still have to pay a full month's rent in addition to the current month, essentially. So the only thing that I think is necessary here, Mr. Chair, is I do have an author's amendment, an A1 amendment, and I can explain it. Again, I'll move the amendment.
Okay, Representative Simon moves the A1 amendment to get in the shape he wants. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, no.
Yeah, the only difference between this and the other night when we all talked about it was Representative Smith had asked some questions, and I think he put his finger on something important, which was it wasn't very clear when we were talking about the security deposit. I mean, it could have been made more clear, and this, I think, does that. Now you have the belt and suspenders approach, both the magic words security deposit and the actual statutory citation. to the security defined statute, because I know there was some ambiguity there, and this makes it, I believe, as clear as it could be. So that's the only change at this time. We're still in discussions with the multi-housing folks about another possible change, but we still have some time to do that one. So this is one I think we all agree on. No substantive change, just makes it a little more clear.
Thank you. Is there any discussion of the bill now as amended? Okay, then. All in favor, Representative Simon renews his motion to for passage as amended and referral to the General Register. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, no. Carries. Representative Simon, I believe you're doing House File 49 for Representative Lesh. Is that correct?
That's correct.
This is the criminal green behavior. Do you want to move your bill?
I will. I'll move that it pass and that it be referred to the General Register.
Representative Simon, go ahead and explain quickly your Representative Lesh's bill.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I'm pinch-hitting for Representative Lesh. We heard this a couple weeks ago or so, and as you may recall, House File 49 establishes a civil gang injunction law that creates a valuable tool in curbing illegal gang activity. Basically, it allows law enforcement and civil courts the opportunity to remove gang members from specific locations where gang activity has been proven to occur. It also allows a court to prohibit multiple gang members from physically being together, again, breaking the chain of protection and safety that neighborhood gangs provide one another. So instead of prosecuting one gang member at a time in a criminal proceeding, this tool would enable us to get multiple individuals in one civil action. So we can virtually, theoretically, shut down the criminal gang and its business by taking out its most active gang members, and at the same time send a message to the gangs that we won't tolerate the behaviors, and send a message to the community that they can be safe in their neighborhoods. So it's been used in Texas, California, a number of other places to combat street gang activity. It has been upheld in the courts when challenged. I don't know that you need any more testimony, Mr. Chair, since we heard this before. It hasn't changed. So
I would guess that everybody remembers. This is one that I definitely remember. Is there any discussion of this bill? Any discussion? Okay, Representative Lesh renews his motion to pass House File. Representative Simon renews his motion to pass House File 49 and referral to the General Register. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say no.
No.
Carries. Let's see, Representative Tilbury. What did I say? No, Tilbury. I know the name of the person that sits it's right behind me, so he's on the floor, so I can get hit in the head every time. Representative Tilbury, I will. I didn't say Tilbury. Representative Tilbury, I will move your House File 1704.
Thank you, Chair. I'm sure everyone behind me is just waiting for the suspense of this particular bill to see where it goes. But it's pretty easy, straightforward. It's where if you have bought or purchased a car and it had been in an accident or something where the airbag was deployed, you would assume that when you purchased that car that the airbag or a new airbag would be put in. So what's been happening is some repair shops have decided not to do so. And so we're trying to put a bill together that will help to stop that. We've found that they have easily put fake covers on the airbag container and have put other things in, like styrofoam or maybe even a Coke can or a Pepsi can. So we're just making sure that we know that that's not the real thing.
And Representative LaForest, you heard this in Congress.
That's correct, Mr. Chairman.
Is there any... there's a witness.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Alyssa Schlander with the Minnesota Auto Dealers Association, and we obviously are supporting the bill. I'll limit my testimony. I know you have plates in there in case there are any questions. I'm just here to
ask. Okay, thank you. Are there any questions of the witness or Representative Paul?
Mr. Chair, Representative Tilbury, Representative Emmers isn't here to ask some questions, so I want to make sure I do. Representative Tilbury, I'm looking at the bill here, and I'm trying to understand if the airbag deploys, somebody patches it up, and they go and sell the vehicle. Are you saying that they cannot sell the vehicle without without it being patched up, or if they disclose that it's gone off and they haven't properly repaired it, is that enough? I mean, help me understand that.
Representative Tilbury.
Mr. Chair, Representative Cole. This is just for people that are knowingly not replacing the airbag. If they, that's what the penalty is for. If someone that knowingly does not put that airbag in place, because the airbag is, if you purchase the vehicle, it's very hard to know whether or not the airbag is in there unless you actually deploy it. You can't do that. Anything to add?
Mr. Chair, Representative Colt, the provision applies to people who are doing collision repair. So if a vehicle comes into a repair shop with an obviously deployed airbag, we just want to make sure that a working airbag is replaced.
Representative Colt.
Mr. Chair, either Representative Hiller or Ms. Lander, if I get in an accident, my airbag goes off. Let's say I get rear-ended and my airbag goes off either properly or improperly. And, you know, I decide I just don't want this dang thing in here. Maybe that's the stupidest thing I could do, but we don't typically prevent people from doing things, you know, for themselves. We can mess. Sometimes we go a little further than I'd like to go. But are you saying if I get in an accident and my airbag goes off, and I bring it in to get it repaired, I can't tell the shop I don't want the airbag repaired? Is that what we're doing here?
Sure. Mr. Chair, yes, if your vehicle is newer than 7 years old, then that would be the
Mr. Chair, one last question. Probably for Ms. Schlander, is there a federal or state requirement that vehicles have frontal airbags? I don't know.
Mr. Chair, Representative, there is a federal requirement that all new vehicles have both driver side and passenger side airbags when they're new.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Is there any further discussion? Okay, Chair renews his motion to pass the bill and refer to the General Register. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, no.
No.
Carries. I missed one. Chair will move House File 1595, the swales, the statutory home warranties. That was the one that said that if the Vindy is the prevailing party, they get cost disbursements and reasonable attorney's fees. We heard that bill about 2 weeks ago. Fully discussed it. Is there any discussion of that bill? Okay. All in favor of that one, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, no. Carries. The next bill, Representative Taylor, are you going to present that? Where is that? Okay. This is one we heard last night, Representative Kalin. It's the Mason bill, and we're not going to take any testimony unless there's some questions on it. Representative Kalin moves House File 635 for passage and referral to the General Register. Representative De La Forest.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think if you were president of the Commerce Committee, I had a couple of questions about this bill, and Representative Kalin can answer the question. For example, on page 2, line 28, regarding a brief, easy to understand description. If I am a non-native English speaker, for example, let's say Spanish was my native language, Could I demand that a charge be provided to me in Spanish?
Representative Field.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative De La Forest, I'd like to actually hand this over to Representative of the Attorney General's Office, who's been working very hard on this bill. I believe that she can answer your question better.
For the record, Jessica Palmer Denning from the Attorney General's Office. There is no requirement in this bill that things be written in any language other than English.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if I might, my question is, would I have a claim under 8.31 of Minnesota statutes? Not what the requirement is. Would I have a claim looking at the remedy section?
I think that the bill doesn't provide that right, and therefore that wouldn't be part of, I mean, it wouldn't, the bill doesn't say that you can print bills in Spanish or that you have to print bills in Spanish or any other language for that matter. The bill doesn't contemplate anything of the sort, and I would be surprised if there could be a claim for a Spanish bill.
Well, Mr. Chair, that would belabor the bill. I mean, if you look at 2.11, there's clearly and conspicuously 3.14, clear, unambiguous. And the problem with this bill, Mr. Chairman, like a lot of bills that we've been passing through the committee process here, is that we make laws that 5.5 million people need to live under. And especially in this bill in 635, go look up 8.31. There are significant civil remedies available here. And I have a fear that what we're doing is we're not providing the kind of guidance that we ought to as a legislative body to the people who need to live under these laws. I'm going to vote against this bill for that reason. We've had far too many bills where we've heard the author say, well, that's not my intent. Well, I don't think people would do that. The Rufavina flag bill was another prime example. So I'm going to leave it at that, but I'm going to vote no on this and invite my colleagues in the majority to carefully scrutinize some of these bills. Your constituents are going to have to live under these bills. Some of your constituents might get sued under this if it becomes law. And my goodness, who the heck knows what some of these descriptions mean? Nobody knows. We're not doing Minnesota any favors by making laws that people are having, going to have difficulty understanding. It's just bad public policy to do that. That's my comment, Mr. Chairman.
I wanted to address one of Representative DeLaForest's concerns. Actually, the term clearly and conspicuously was added to this bill at the request of the wireless industry. That's a term that they have agreed to in settlements with other states that were brought, and so that actually wasn't in the original bill, and we added it as a concession to them. So I just wanted to put that on the record.
Okay. Well, Mr. Chairman, I'll say for the record, when the wireless folks get what they deserve.
Whoever you are,
Mr. Chair, and ma'am, I forgot your name from last night. Have you made any progress on getting the data around the complaints that we talked about last night? I know it's been an issue in some of the other committees.
We're in the process of looking at the data. I actually had six staff members in the Attorney General's office spend an entire day going through last year's paper complaints. Our document retention policy at the AG's office holds that we keep paper complaints for 1 year, so that's the number that I can go through to really read through the complaints that the people brought. And I wanted to say, again, I have some concerns about providing the summary data. There's a reason that the Data Practices Act provides that summary data is compiled by agencies upon written request and if their requests are paid for the data. The reason for that is that the data doesn't actually exist in the Attorney General's office in the form that it's been requested. It requires significant resources to develop that data. And if state agencies are I understand the basis for the request, but I wanted to point out as a policy matter that if state agencies are required to manipulate their data in lots of different ways all the time, it can impede their function as state agencies. So we are looking into the data. I did provide last night some of the broad swath data on the number of complaints. We are in the process of trying to compile broken down data into different categories, and I would hope to be able to provide that as soon as possible.
Mr. Chair,
Representative. I'm sorry.
Mr. Chair, thank you. I hope that I didn't just hear a request for a written request from the legislature to the Attorney General's office to provide this information, because we make these types of requests of the agencies all the time, and I've never heard that before. And so I hope that's not what I just heard. And I hope that if that is, I hope you'll make that very clear, because then I'm sure you'll be getting one from one or more of us. And I think this is an important issue. I mean, we're asking, you're asking, your office, the Attorney General's office is asking the legislature to
to make some changes that may or may not be good. But one of the ways in which we decide whether this is something we need to do is based on data that you've indicated your office has. And I'd like to understand. And I'm not looking for Sally Smith, who lives at 1234 Oak Street, and her telephone number. I want to know. I want to know how many people called and complained about A, B, C, and D, and how this bill is going to, how many of those people who contacted your office would have been protected in some way, shape, or form by the language that we're being asked to pass as a legislature. So if you could clarify, if you're asking me to send you a written letter, I guess I'll do that, but I'm not, in that's the case, I'm not happy to hear it.
Representative Coles, I was speaking simply to what the text of the Data Practices Act says. Now, I understand that the legislature makes requests for data all the time. I understand and appreciate that completely. What I need for the legislature to understand is that the data doesn't exist in that form, and so it's taking us time to create it. And while I understand and completely believe it's legitimate for the legislature to get the information, I am concerned that the focus on the complaints, just the complaints received by the AG's office, and not the complaints that have also been received by the FCC, by the Better Business Bureau, where the wireless industry has been the most complained about industry in 3 out of the last 4 years. The fact that other states, including North Dakota and New York, are considering wireless legislation, that California regulators have brought cases in Texas, the state of Texas has just sued one of the wireless industry providers. I want to make sure that the focus on the AG's office complaint, it doesn't obscure the larger picture.
And Mr. Chair,
Representative Coles.
I'm sorry, now your name?
Palmer Denig.
Ms. Palmer Denig, if you can, if you or your office can provide me, I mean, we've got an agenda that's just long today, and I don't want to make excuses for being a busy legislator, but I'm a busy legislator, and if you want us to make what may or may not be significant policy changes, if you can provide me with that, some of that information from the FCC and the Better Business Bureau and kind of what you're talking about, I'm happy to look at it and consider it. And I don't necessarily just want or need data from the Attorney General's office. If you can help me make an informed decision as a legislature, as a legislator, I would appreciate that.
Certainly, and I would like to address one more thing to the comment that you just made about a change in policy. In fact, what the AG's office is attempting to do is to revive a statute that this legislature already passed and the governor already signed, providing protections to wireless carriers, which we thought was a good idea, and we thought that it was necessary. And so we're just trying to actually continue this legislature's policy after that previous statute was struck down.
Is there any further discussion? Otherwise, Representative Kalin renews his motion for passage of House File 635 and referral to the General Register. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? No.
No.
Carries.
Mr. Chair, Representative DeLaForest and I had a short conversation about being a free market Democrat, and I see that Representative DeLaForest has actually come to the other side and want to become a regulatory Republican. So glad to see that we're switching sides.
We're about to go libertarian.
I'll be joining you on that side.
Representative Bigham, House File 2318. Representative Bigham moves House File 2318 for passage and referral to the General Register.
Not to be laid over into the omnibus bill.
We're going to the General Register with this too.
Real brief that this bill amends the Minnesota statute that provides for life sentences for dangerous and wicked sex offenders. Under the current law, a person with many low-level sex offenses is only eligible for life sentence if at least two of his or her prior convictions are of crime sex 1, 2, or 3. Under this bill before you, a prosecutor would only need to prove that the repeat low-level offender has one prior crime sex 1, 2, or 3 offenses for the offender to be considered for a life sentence. That's it.
Okay. And Representative Bigham, you're correct. It is for layoff or for inclusion in the omnibus bill.
I know. I may be a freshman, but I know some stuff.
Any discussion? Okay, all in favor, Mr.
Chair?
Which is late.
Oh, great.
Right.
Thank you.
First one tonight.
where is it?
Did somebody get health care?
She had to go.
Okay, I will give my credit for it.
What do I want? I want House File 1019 laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill instead of for general registry like it was. Because if we can include the last bill in, we can certainly include this bill.
Mr. Chair, or Chairman Miller, excuse me. We are on House File 931, a bill we heard information about last night, and so the motion is...
The motion for this is for passage and referral to the General Register.
Thank you, Chairman Mullery, and proceed.
Very quickly, since we took all the testimony last night, this is just a bill that follows up on the predatory lending bill. I don't think there was any opposition to this part of the bill. It's just the provisions that if you violate the other, this gets into...
No, we'd want to go home tonight. Mr. Chair, I do have the gavel ready to strike, and I learned that Ms. Hawkins is not an alum of William Mitchell, so we will drop this in quickly. So
take the mic away.
Proceed. Chair Mullery, please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This just has the provisions that the people person can sue on the basis if they're ripped off by somebody. And it also has the prepayment penalty language that was met with the everybody the bankers wanted, and we agreed to what they wanted. And Mr. Chairman, we did have three amendments, which we have to do now. And so I'll move the A1 amendment first, which just is a correction of one part of the statute. Mr. Tenderfoot was had the wrong reference.
Can you hold on 1 second? Chair Mullery, and please keep the microphone away from Ms. Hawkins.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I may not give you back the gavel if Ms. Hawkins gets the microphone. How's that for a deal? We do, Ms. Hawkins. We do appreciate your hard work on this bill, and appreciate your being a good sport. Are we seeing numbers? Anyone, the amendments to the 931?
Yeah,
931. Mr. Baldwin?
Last night.
Mr. Baldwin?
Do people have to say them again? We have one.
I would like to say them, Mr. Chair. I don't mean to be persnickety. The amendments to 931. Chair Mullery would like to amend the bill tonight.
We couldn't amend it last night, so we have to do it tonight.
And we don't have amendments in the packet.
Well, where is the packet last
night? Chair Mullery, do you have the amendments with you?
Yes.
Pages, can we run off the amendments? And Chair Mullery, are you willing to proceed with House File 1209 while we're... Oh, we already did 1209?
1209 has been long gone from this committee.
Then I would take that as a no.
We couldn't proceed with it.
Just pause rather than formally recess, but we're going to pause for about 3 or 4 minutes. So if
public wants to stretch their legs or, but really we are only pausing. Representative Cornish, you have one more joke?
I bombed out my last one.
You just about drove everybody out.
Perhaps it's time to, I know we're leaning on staff very hard for serious work. Perhaps staff has a joke?
Yeah.
Where are we in the Third Amendment? Okay. I'm the floor. You should check and see where it is. He's almost ready to go ahead. Sorry. The committee will come back to order. We are now unpausing. We have two of the three amendments before us. The third is coming. Ms. Hawkins, you're doing fantabulous work.
Fantastic work, excuse me.
Well, if we can... Yeah, I'm not even going to go there. Chair Mullery, we still... The motion before us is House File 931. And so I understand that you... Are we ready to move the 473 amendment? Would you like to move the 473 amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll move the 473 amendment.
Can you very briefly explain the amendment, and then we'll...
This is just requested by some of the lenders, and it... Basically, what it does is it says that the prepayment penalty prohibition does not apply to high, quite expensive mortgages. I think it's somewhere around $400,000 or something like that.
Okay. All those in favor of Representative Mullery's, Chair Mullery's motion to adopt the 473 amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed, say nay. Motion prevails. Next amendment before us is the A1 amendment, I believe,
yes,
Chair Mullery.
I would move the A1 amendment.
Okay. Any explanation? We just have some...
This is a very simple one. Mr. Pinder caught the fact that there was drafted the wrong section in the bill, and so he just corrected the section of the statutes to conform to what it was.
If you can hold on one moment, Mr. Chair... We have just a technical question here we need to resolve. Thank you for your patience, Mr. Chair Mullery. Staff caught a technical error that we are working off the first engrossment. We are working off the first engrossment of House File 931, and so the amendments as drafted don't line up with the first engrossment. So appreciate Representative Hillstrom's advice while staff is working on this. The way we will proceed, unless without objection, hopefully, is to if you can move to reconsider your initial amendment, we'll do so, and then we'll correct the amendments, and we'll put them in the proper order. Is that okay with you, Chair Mullery?
However the chair wishes to proceed.
So Chair Mullery moves to reconsider the 473 amendments. All those in favor signify by, we're doing an affirmative vote on this, is that correct? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed, nay. The motion prevails. The amendment is reconsidered. Chair Mullery, staff recommends the following change to the 473 amendments. On line 1.1, after number 931, insert the first engrossment. On line 1.2, change page 5 to page 6. Delete line 29, comma, after the period, to read after line 21. So the beginning of line 1.2 should read page 6, after line 21, insert. And then the rest of the substantive portion of the amendment should remain. Is that agreeable with you, Chair Mullery?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I would. I guess I would have to move the 473 amendment.
Mr. Chair, you can actually you can please move the amendment first.
Okay, I'll move the 473 amendment.
Okay, and then would you like to incorporate the suggested changes in your amendment? Okay, without objection, Chair Mullery is incorporating staff's proposed changes, technical changes. All those in favor of the 473 amendment with the incorporated changes, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed, nay. The motion prevails. Thank you for your cooperation, members, and Chair Mullery. Are we still working on the A1 amendment? Technical location? Okay. I believe there's another amendment. If the page could deliver a copy to staff right away. A good catch, by the way, staff. Thank you. We can just go ahead and adopt the whole shebang.
Okay.
That's going right after the pause. Shall not enter. Let me read this off. Shall not enter a subprime loan. We can think.
Is that for Mr. Chair?
Chair Mullery.
I'm just. Mr. Chair.
Yes, Chair Mullery, you do have the floor. So
Ms. Hawkins pointed out, there's somebody to pay off her here. on line 6.8, we're going to have to retract the last motion because on line 6.18 of the first engrossment, the language in 473 is already in there. The language on the A1 amendment is on line 7.32 and that's it. So we don't need the A1 amendment. We don't need the 473 amendment. And let's see if we need.
Chair Mullery, the 397 amendment is fully incorporated into the engrossment. Is that correct?
Yes, we.
Okay.
All of them are. They're all in the first engrossment.
That's all right.
Sorry. If you can wait one more moment, Tim, I want to convince staff that you and I are in agreement, and so they will come along with us, I hope.
So, the first sentence.
Everything else is so.
They're all on the first endorsement.
Chair Mullery, members, our patient public, the three amendments for which we've been waiting are all incorporated in the first endorsement. And so we're going to do the second verse, same as the first. And Chair Mullery will move to reconsider the 4.7.3 amendment. So just to be sure, so everyone knows exactly what we're voting on here, because all of the language is incorporated, and the amendments are redundant, we are merely removing the amendment that we now have adopted twice. But all the substantive changes are in the first engrossment. So all those in favor of Chair Mullery's motion to reconsider the amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed, nay? The motion prevails. Chair Mueller, I believe that this is the form that
yes.
you wish your bill to be in.
Yes.
And is there any discussion? We heard this bill as part of an hour-long presentation on predatory lending yesterday. So is there any discussion to House File 931? Seeing no discussion, Chair Mueller renews his motion to pass House File 931 and move it to the General Register. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed, nay?
No.
The motion prevails. The bill is passed. Thank you for your patience, and thank you, staff, for your help. And again, we are making Representative Solberg quite happy. Ms. Hawkins, thank you for your eloquent words tonight. Oh, is that supposed to be funny? Representative Keeson, are you prepared to proceed?
Yes, Mr. Hawkins.
I think he used to go to present as well. This may be 30 years before I get to say this again. Representative Thiessen, approach. Representative Thiessen, welcome again to the committee. Representative Simon, I'm just saying hello. Would someone like to move House File 1058? Representative Olin moves House File 1058, and I believe we are going to recommend passing going to the General Register. Is that correct, Representative Thiessen?
Well, I think it's going to actually be going to finance after we put on an amendment that we're going to have tonight. But we can move.
Okay, let's just move House File 1058 then to get it in front of us. And Representative Thiessen, if you could just grab the microphone that was sequestered off away from a testifier.
And if I could, someone could move the A8 amendment to begin with.
Representative Pellstrom moves the A8 amendment.
And
can you briefly explain the amendment and sort of maybe a two-sentence on where you were at here?
This bill makes sure that, one of the concerns I expressed last time was that, we want to make sure our priority is on broader public safety issues. This will dedicate the revenues of this, the hiring fleet in Minneapolis. And it's part of the discussions we've been having with the Minneapolis Police Federation to try to work out some of the issues on the bill. And so I think it really makes sense because it allows us to use these cameras in a way that's even more beneficial to public safety by directing dollars into police, into the police force and hiring more officers.
Great. Thank you very much. Any discussion on the E8 amendment? Representative DeLaForest?
Representative, yes. I'm sorry if I missed it. Any thoughts from the union or other local jurisdictions on the A8 amendment or whoever offered it?
Representative Hillstrom moved it, but Representative Thiessen is the most educated on this amendment.
We have, I mean, the city, I talked with my city, and they are comfortable with proceeding in this direction.
I really like
Representative DeLaForest.
No, I do. I like it. Suspiciously similar to certain LGA proposals.
It's only money raised. All right, I got it. Thank you.
Representative Thiessen, anything else to add? Great. Any other discussion on the 8th Amendment? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed, nay. The motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. Representative Thiessen.
If someone will move the A9 Amendment, this amendment, whoever calls, it's one that the chair had requested. To clarify some language that the other chair,
yes.
Muller, so someone will move that for me.
I will move,
okay.
If that's okay. I will move the A9 amendment.
And this is just to clarify that we have a statute that if you get 3 petty misdemeanors, the Latin, it turns into a misdemeanor. This is just to clarify that this violation, that will not be the case. I think that's what the language reads already, but this is just to provide more comfort.
Okay. Any discussion of the A9 amendment briefly? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A9 amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed, nay. The motion prevails. The amendment's adopted. Any more amendments?
There's an A7 amendment, Mr. Chair.
If you could hold on 1 second. The members have the A7 amendment?
Yes.
Okay. If somebody could hand the amendment to the chair.
I'm sure there's a back page to it, which is not there, so maybe I can help.
Do members have a single page A7 amendment currently? Excellent. Thank you, Representative Thiessen. If you can hold on 1 moment.
And maybe I can explain it while it's coming. Mr. Chair.
Yeah. Representative Thiessen, proceed. Thank you.
Yes. Make sure that because of the volume of some of these, some of the tickets issued by this, this just makes sure that gives the district court a little bit more money to handle that volume, and so it kind of redirects the money to the district court so they can handle the volume that's produced by these tickets that has been produced at least or may be produced.
Thank you, Representative Thiessen. Any discussion to the A7 amendment, members? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A7 amendment? I move the A7 amendment. All those in favor of the A7 amendment, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed, nay. The motion prevails. The amendment's adopted. Is the bill in the form you'd like it?
It is in the form I'd like it. I think we had a discussion of the bill 2 nights ago, so I don't have anything further to state except that we made some progress.
Yeah, thank you, Representative Thiessen. I appreciate that. Representative Cornish.
It's going to take a while. Representative, this is a bad bill made horrendous. Even more horrendous by the amendment. What we've been trying to do in law enforcement for 100 years is not make a bounty system. When we first started law enforcement, for instance, in 1887, you just get a cash bonus for catching violators at the right of the officer. And then when police departments started up, they used to have cash bonuses for peace officers. Now we're starting cash bonuses. This is even a worse shame than the administrative penalties that the League of Cities is pushing statewide that comes right back to the city. What this does is it changes the referral system where this funding goes. I don't like photocopies in the first place because it takes away all your community policing. You've got a machine up there taking pictures of violations of people within the school in the car. But what's happening here now is, of all things, we're supposed to get public buy-in, and the public looks at this now and sees that the money is going to the city. And that's the problem with the administrative penalties that we've got going on another route.
And Mr. Chair, if I
Representative
can clarify it, in fact, that's not the case. It's the same division as any other violation. It's just the proceeds of the city, half of the proceeds that are already under every other statute. But, I mean, the division is the same as every other violation. And some of those proceeds currently go to the city for a red light violation. It's half of those city proceeds. So it's not
Representative Cornish.
Then what's the point, even if it's a quarter, and going to law enforcement personnel, and it's going right back into it. And that's the problem, and it's the penalty. And the other thing that they question is that we've actually got city officials going out and telling the police officers right now, I mean, they're calling and telling the police officers that if you write an administrative penalty, the money will go right back to your department. And this is kind of a similar thing. The money is funneled right back in for law enforcement personnel. It sounds good and pushy, you can hire more cops, but it's a huge cash cow. It's going to be a lot of money and a lot of tickets coming in. It's just kind of make a mockery. It's just embarrassed for law enforcement that they would even climb under this cash cow. And you don't notice a lot of rank and file cops coming up here with you. You'll have chiefs, you'll have assistant chiefs, talking for the mayor because a cash cow coming in. But the rank and file cop on the street, I don't think wants anything to do with this. The Minneapolis Police Federation isn't opposing it anymore, I understand, but I don't think they're going to come up and say, support it and say it's a great deal, as with rank and file cops. I don't know if the MPPOA is going to stand, but it just flies in the face of law enforcement, real law enforcement. Here we're trying to get our cops out in the streets, working with the community, and what we're doing is replacing it with a big machine to take pictures of people. And I worry about the future of law enforcement. We end up with these little cameras, like the official predictive in the Twilight Zone, and you have these little things following people around taking pictures of them 30 years ago. And instead of, it's just going against what we're talking about, community policing, just taking away from that. I really worry about that. And so, when we do vote, I like to vote, we'll call vote. You probably got the vote to pass this, but it's just, I wanted to go on the record. And just embarrassing for law enforcement that they look at this as a money tool, like the administrative penalties. It's great. It's going to cost a lot of money to come in. You can do great things with the money, but I think it's going to destroy public confidence in the system like a cash bonus.
A roll call vote has been requested. Representative Thiessen.
And just briefly, I mean, as to the the bounty issue or what have you, I mean, this, in that sense, the police officers are not going to grab tickets. It's the camera that's taking it. And I guess the other point is this, in terms of the money, I mean, this is a public safety issue for the city. It's not about raising the dollars. And so I would just say that it's a third of 1% of the public safety budget that was generated by this city. So it's not really going to change much. But on the other hand, I think getting a few more police officers on the street is not the end of the world.
Representative Cornish, if you could briefly.
In every article that you'll read about photocop or administrative penalties, in every single one, the biggest thing that comes in is the amount of money and what you can do with the money. So to say it's not about money and you say it's public safety, great. But put some more money and get a cop out there to watch the intersection instead of putting a machine up there. And then you've got double whammy. You can go around and talk to people and cut down on crime. And I know they'll say this is to free up police officers. They can do it. I've heard all those arguments. I've rambled on enough.
Thank you, Representative Cornish. For our planning purposes here, we do have two bills from Representative Hillstrom and Representative Mullery's omnibus crime bill yet tonight. So we did have extensive discussion on this bill before, but I do appreciate and wanted to give you an opportunity to share your thoughts, Representative Cornish. Any other discussion or questions from members? Representative Thiessen, the last 20 seconds. We are not going to be taking. We had plenty of testimony on this bill before, and we were limiting it to. We already had a full informational hearing on the bill, and I do apologize for that, sir. But I believe that we, given time constraints, we're going to need to proceed. Representative Thiessen, any last words?
No, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Thank you very much. Roll call having been requested, the clerk will take the roll.
On passage of the bill, Chair Kranz. I'm sorry. Chair Kalin.
I'll pass until the end.
Okay. Representative Bigham. Representative Cornish.
No.
Representative De La Forest.
No.
Representative Emmer.
No.
Representative Hillstrom.
Yeah.
Representative Holberg. Representative Johnson.
Yes.
Representative Coles.
No.
Representative Kranz. Representative Lesh. Representative Lilly.
Yes.
Representative Olin.
Yes.
Representative Paymar.
Yes.
Representative Saylor.
No.
Representative Simon.
Yes.
Representative Smith.
No.
Representative Westrum. Chair Kalin.
No.
Thank you, members.
The ayes having a total of 6 votes, the nays a total of 7, the motion does not prevail. Representative Paymar.
Question about what you just said about the honor of the bill tonight. Did you say we voted on it?
Representative Paymar, I believe the that Chair Mullery intends to take up House File 548, the omnibus crime bill, this evening, which was news to me as well. But
I'm just trying to understand how it's working. So if it's passing with the line over bill,
Mr. Deeble reminds me that there's only one that was laid over. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, members, I've been in and out.
Mr. Deeble.
But I believe only one was laid over, and I believe it's already in the...
It's already in the bill.
Yeah.
Representative Coles?
Mr. Chair, this is news to my side of the aisle. We had talked about doing the crime bill tomorrow morning, I believe. I don't know. I understood the crime bill was going to be done tomorrow morning.
Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Maybe someone could go and chat with Representative Mullery and find out what his intention is and then come back and let us know.
Good idea.
I think that's a... where's Mr. Baldwin? Mr. Baldwin, if you could...
All of a sudden, we're going to do the crime bill.
If you could connect, if you can hold on 1 second.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd be happy to present my bill while you figure out what it is that we're going to do next so that we can keep moving.
That was precisely my intent. I just wanted to dispatch our scout, Mr. Baldwin, to his duty. Representative Hellstrom, thank you for your proaction. And which bill would you like to take up first?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move that House File 1948, the recommended pass, be re-referred to the Finance Committee. The recommendation that be re-referred to the Public Safety Finance.
Representative Hellstrom moves that House File 1948 be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Finance Committee with a recommendation to be re-referred to Public Safety Finance. Is that the motion before us? Thank you, Representative Hillstrom. Present your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have been working on the fifth issue for the public defenders and the court for many, many years, and we believe that the amendment that you have with one oral amendment is a compromise that everyone is in love with, Mr. Chair. So I'd like to turn it over to my witness, and he can tell you about the oral amendment we'd like to offer and about the compromise.
Mr. Kyer, welcome to the committee. And
I need to move the DE1 amendment.
Thank you. I just saw that as well. Representative Hillstrom moves the DE1 amendment to House Bill 1948 to get the bill in the shape you'd like it, I presume. All those in favor of adopting the DE1 amendment, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay.
No.
The motion prevails. The amendment's adopted. And the oral amendment, welcome to committee, Mr. Kyer.
Mr. Chairman, members, for the record, my name is Kevin Kyer. I'm the chief administrator with the Board of Public Defense. And I apologize for the oral amendment, but as you might imagine, this time of the year, things get a little hairy here. So I will go through it and talk to counsel, one of the counsel, and we'll see if we can go through it. On line 1.11, page 1, 1.11, after the word guardian, insert pursuant to 11.14, and then strike everything after guardian.
So, Mr. Kyer, the Representative Hillstrom's oral amendment will be to strike everything after guardian on line 1.11.
Yep.
And insert after guardian pursuant to 611.14.
Correct.
Do members have that amendment?
Section
611.14. Clerk has the amendment. Members, any questions about the amendment?
Mr. Chair? Yeah.
Good.
Okay. Staff is confident that clerk has it. Proceed, Mr. Kyer, with the oral amendment.
On lines 1.16, strike everything after or up to item B.
Mr. Kyer, line 1.16, we have a strikeout on that in the DE1 amendment.
Okay.
Does that reflect your intention, Representative Hillstrom, Mr. Kyer?
Mr. Chair, if they did a Ferran amendment, we need the DE1 for the 1948.
We do have, I'm looking at the 1948 DE1 amendment, but hold on one second. Members, do you have the 1948 DE1 amendment? I believe it was in your packets, but
And Mr. Chair, after you do find that, I actually need to make the motion that it needs to go to the floor, not to Representative Kmart's committee. It has no state at this point.
Thank you for the correction. We will. When we renew the motion, we will make sure to do it in the state intended. Again, I'm asking members if you do have the 1948 DE1 amendment. Anyone? There's a staple on the right side above the DE1 marking. Other than at the top left, I don't know if that's a clue.
I don't have it. Yes, I have it.
It's okay, go ahead and do it tonight. Let's just take 5 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
That's 5 minutes. Well, you're
right.
We'll never get back.
Mr. Chair, does someone go to get the amendment?
I believe that Mr. Baldwin is being proactive.
I have one.
We have an expedition
1948 DE1
that was successful, but
Representative Smith found his.
If anybody wants to know what it says, just ask.
that the folks with the amendment are partisan research staff, a former chair, and the first termer. if we could distribute those, Wing. I have one, so I'm good to go. And the author has one at the table.
We're good.
Why don't we proceed then? Mr. Kyer, we do have the oral amendment on line 1.11.
Okay.
And
Mr. Chairman, on 1.16, delete, beginning with the letter, with the word or, up to item B, where you see it in the parentheses. We'll strike that.
It is stricken on our DE1
okay.
amendment.
All right, and then insert.
Mr. Carr, do you wish to restore that or
no.
make sure it's deleted?
It should be deleted.
All right, we are deleting that.
And then on that line, after defender, it should read for the child.
Mr. Carr, I just want to make sure that this works. The sentence would then read, the court must appoint a public defender for the child in accordance with section 611.14, paragraph A, clause 4. Is that the intention of the author? Great, thank you. And the clerk has that amendment. Members understand where we're going here. Anything else, Representative Hilstrom, Mr. Kyer?
Chairman, the last one is the effective date should be 1-1-2008.
On line 1.23?
On all sections.
So we are striking July 1, 2007 on all the effective dates and making it January
1,
2008?
Correct, Mr. Chair.
Great. Clerk has that amendment as well. And members, we're good? Great. Just want to make sure we're on the same page. Is that it, Mr. Kyer?
Chairman, that's it for right now. I'm sure there'll be others since this goes along. But.
Representative Hilstrom, would you like to renew your oral amendment to incorporate those changes?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I would renew that motion to incorporate those changes, and okay. Hopefully there will not be future changes.
Okay. I would just like to vote on this oral amendment, just procedurally. All those in favor of Representative Hilstrom's oral amendment as reported, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed, say nay. Motion prevails, and the bill should be in the form that you wish. Is that correct?
That is correct, Mr. Chair.
Great. Two-year bill, Representative Hilstrom or Mr. Kyer. Mr. Kyer.
Mr. Chairman and members, first of all, let me thank Representative Hilstrom and representatives of the county and the court. This bill has been a long time coming, as Representative Hilstrom pointed out. This goes back to at least 1998, three different task forces, several versions of this bill, and finally implements the recommendations of the Task Force on Child Protection and Public Defender Representation in those cases from 2006. Mr. Chairman and members, I guess I'll go through very briefly section by section. It's not particularly long. So in section one, we're representing the public defenders would be representing children in these out-of-home placements. In section, to continue on section one, the next page, the new language would provide for, the stricken language is outdated language. The new language would provide for the board to be reimbursed by the counties for work on non-custodial parents in CHIPS case. And as some of you recall, as we visited along the way, is that has been kind of the issue of who's going to represent these folks, who's going to pay for it. This is a continuation of kind of sorting out those responsibilities. Custodial parents, children over 10, and also then children under 10 where we're representing the child because of a behavioral incident of the child, those would be public defender cases. Non-custodial parents who are represented by a public defender, those cases would be reimbursed at that rate that you see in there by the counties. And that's really kind of the compromise that was reached with all the folks. Mr. Chairman, the next page, again, the new language, again, delineates who's entitled to representation, again, who's going to pay for that representation. This is language that comes from that task force report in 2000, that Supreme Court task force report. Section 4, again, strikes some outdated language regarding the broad authority of the court to appoint public defenders, as well as the section on page 4, again, which is some outdated language that's been used on occasion to have folks represented who may not be entitled to. Mr. Chairman, that's the bill. It sorts out, again, the responsibility of not only who represents these folks, make sure everybody's represented, and sorts out who pays for it, again, on the trial level. And again, I thank you to Representative Hillstrom, and again, to the county folks, for the point. It's been a long time coming. So with that, let's stand for any questions.
Thank you for your concise presentation, Mr. Kyer. Any questions from members? Is that an affirmative, Representative Olin? Representative Olin.
Quick comment. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My county will be not very happy, and my public defender, who was hired by the county routinely when these things happen, will be very happy because he's got an increase in salary. But we don't pay it.
Mr. Kyer? Representative Hulston?
Well, Mr. Chairman and members, what we would envision this is, depending on where you are in the state, we're going to have to take a look and see how many cases we're actually going to have. In some places, it may make sense to add part-time staff. In some cases, it may make sense to add full-time staff. Some places, we may end up contracting. It's a little bit of a gamble on our part because we just don't know how many cases they're going to end up in. So.
Thank you, Mr. Kyer. Any other questions from comments from members? Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In the discussions, apparently we haven't found anyone that pays less than 55 that we know of, and no one that pays more than 75, so this is kind of the compromised middle, Mr. Chair. And again, I have promised all the stakeholders that in the event that something unravels here, that I will not bring up the bill on the floor unless all the stakeholders are on board. This has been a long working process. And I am just thankful that we have finally got agreement, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Pelsman. Hold on. Representative Olin, anything to add? Great. is there anyone in the audience who'd like to testify either for or against the bill? Good news. Seeing none. Members, any more questions? Otherwise, it looks like Representative Hillstrom is ready to make a couple more points. And
Mr. Chair, not a couple of points, but someone said they didn't think that we adopted the delete all. So if you could just check the record to confirm that we did, in fact, adopt the delete all, because that is the order we want the bill in.
We did indeed adopt the delete all, and we did, Representative Hillstrom and members, adopt the oral amendments as well. So we are...
Perfect, Mr. Chair, and then I'm finished.
In good shape. Great. Seeing no further discussion from members, Representative Hillstrom renews her motion to pass House File 1948 as amended and send it to the General Register.
Correct.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed, nay. The motion prevails. The amendment or the bill passes as amended. Representative Hillstrom. We are looking at House File 1274, is that correct?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move that House File 1274 be laid over for possible
amendments. Representative Hillstrom moves that House File 1274 be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill?
Yes, Mr. Chair, it's my intention to offer up an amendment to put the two sections that aren't in the bill yet in the bill whenever we see them.
Okay. Members, we're working on House File 1274, and the author has...
I do have a DE-1 amendment.
The DE-1 amendment. Would you like to move that amendment?
I would move the DE-1 amendment.
Representative Hillstrom moves the DE-1 amendment, and this is to get the bill in the shape you'd like it in?
That's correct, Mr. Chair.
All those in favor of House File 1274 DE-1 amendment, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed, nay. The motion prevails. The amendment's adopted. Is the bill in the shape you'd like it?
I do, Mr. Chair.
Great. Proceed with presenting the bill.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is the CrimNet Policy Group bill, and Representative Cornish was actually on the policy group when they came up with the recommendations. However, I have now been appointed to that policy group. So in the event we need any help, we'll refer to Representative Cornish here. But I'd like to turn it over to my testifier.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Dana Goetz. I'm with CrimNet at the BCA.
Welcome, Ms. Goetz.
Thank you.
Proceed.
As Representative Hillstrom said, this is every year the policy group is required by statute to recommend both funding and policy recommendations to the legislature, and this is the policy recommendations that they're forwarding. The DE1 amendment basically does two things. It deleted sections 1 and 2 from the original bill just because they were already heard by this committee and are included in the data practices omnibus bill. It also deleted section 3, which was the authorization of a subscription service. That provision was controversial in the Senate, and some House members also had concerns, so we've agreed to continue to work on that language. So essentially, the two sections that are left in the bill are primarily housekeeping or technical changes. The new Section 1 revises the current task force membership. Again, these are technical changes recommended by the task force. Most constituencies represented on the task force currently have two members, two sheriffs, two judges, two probation officers, etc. This recommended language would allow the appointing association to actually, they'd still get to appoint two members. However, this would, only one would have to be an actual sheriff or probation officer or judge, and this would give these associations more flexibility in appointing the people that they feel would best represent the interests of their association. And Section 2 is just a technical change to clarify the match requirement for locals who are recipients of CrimNet grants.
Does that complete your testimony, your presentation on the bill, Ms. Jones?
Yes.
Great. Thank you very much. Representative Cornish.
As I just say, there's nothing scary in it, and there's so many people on that board had so much input that a good group to work with, and it's a good bill.
Excellent. Thanks for your input, Representative Cornish. And endorsement. Anyone, any other questions from members? I just comment that Representative Hillstrom has, the two bills have required a lot of bit of stakeholder work, and appreciate your ability to bring these things to product. So thank you, Representative Hillstrom. Representative Olin, anything? Thank you. Representative Hillstrom, we are laying this bill over as amended for possible inclusion.
That is correct, Mr. Chair. Because two sections are already in the omnibus, so we're just going to amend on the two sections, whatever we
think. Okay, excellent. So that completes our discussion on House Bill 1274. Thank you, Ms. Goetz and Representative Hillstrom. And I do believe that that brings us to House Bill. Staff is making me say this. House File 1274 is laid, as amended, is laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. And that brings us to the main event of the evening. Representative Mulder, Chairman Mulder. Representative Coles.
Mr. Chair, I don't know that we even need. I don't think we need 10 minutes. Just 5 minutes. We're gonna powwow back here and encourage people to not run away. We're almost. I think we're ready to go.
Representative Emmer, will you be participating in the powwow? Excellent. We are recessed for 5 minutes.